Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Estela. I am your host, Veronica Vilsky, and we are here to talk with Joseph Brewster. Joseph was born in Kansas City, Kansas, and shortly after, his family moved to Germany for 3 years and toured Europe. From there, they moved to Virginia for 3 years, and finally they came to live in Killeen, Texas. As you can probably guess, he is from a military family. Joseph has a way of staying extremely busy. Growing up, he was an active chess player and was ranked the highest in his area. He attended Harker Heights High School, where he was drum major of his band, officer of the step team, editor-in-chief of Key Club, and vice president of Health Occupation Sciences of America. After high school, he decided to attend Central Texas College to finish his basics and then transfer to the University of Texas College of Natural Science, where he majored in biology. During that time, he was treasurer of the Longhorn Pre-Pharmacy Association at the University of Texas and loved every minute of it. After 3 years of undergrad, Joseph was accepted into the UT College of Pharmacy, where he continues to stay heavily involved. Besides being the new student orientation co-chair for the current school year, he has served as the treasurer and vice president of Student National Pharmaceutical Association, the treasurer of Phi Lambda Sigma Leadership Society, and the prayer chain for Christian Pharmacists Fellowship International. In his spare time, Joseph loves to socialize and go out with friends, go salsa dancing, and stay very active in his church, where he is a sign language interpreter for the deaf. All in all, Joseph has a passion for people and a heart to help and loves living life to the fullest. He is extremely outgoing and friendly, so don't be a stranger. If you want to know more, just ask. So, Joseph, welcome, and thank you for connecting with me for this interview.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my joy.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. So as I mentioned in your introduction, you're in your final year in your pharmacy doctorate program. So how does it feel to be so close to finishing?
It's exciting and almost so surreal. The time has passed by so quickly. But I've loved every minute of it, and I'm living the dream and what I wanted to do. So it's a good feeling for sure.
Awesome. When I asked you to help out with our listeners and share your experience with Estela and Cuzco, you contacted me almost instantly with a yes. What made you so confident that this was something you wanted to share with others?
That's a great question. The experience in Cuzco was a life-changing experience for me. It was one that I found out so much about myself and then also about my passion for my career and the culture and the love of the language of Spanish. So for me to share my experience, to hopefully to have an impact on someone else's life, to hopefully encourage them to participate in something like this, it was my joy, and I definitely would advocate it for any student.
So let's go back a year and a half to the summer of 2013, and you were in Cusco, Peru, attending one of our specialized programs that was geared towards medical Spanish and medical shadowing. So setting aside like the medical Spanish and shadowing, what did a typical weekday look like during those 6 weeks as far as learning Spanish in the classroom?
So one thing I loved about the Estela program was that the classrooms was extremely small. And the fact that it was, you had the one-on-one communication and training with the professor that was there. So for instance, in my class that I was in, there was only me and another student from California, a nursing student. And it was very individualized. So we had 2 hours in the morning of grammatical Spanish with a workbook and going through learning verb tenses and different things of that nature. And perfecting of that. And then in the afternoon, we would switch over usually to a different teacher and have conversational Spanish, which for me was the one thing lacking. I had had Spanish in the past in school and excelled in it, making A's here in the United States. However, I could not speak it or didn't feel confident enough to speak it with Spanish speakers. So therefore, that conversational piece is the one thing that I believe got the most out of, because it made me confident and it forced me to get out of my comfort zone to speak to other people in Spanish.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned when we spoke previously, too, that your homestay helped with that, too. Can you tell us how?
It did. Yeah, my homestay, I'd say I had the best homestay out of any of the people there. It was a family with a little boy. However, they did not speak any English really at all. The little boy was learning English in school, but the mom didn't even speak anything from thank you or you're welcome in English. It was strictly Spanish. So for the first week, it was extremely uncomfortable for me because I didn't know how to communicate. And she would talk to me, and I would act like I understood what she was saying, but I really had no clue. and I would have to point to different things or write something down on a piece of paper or Google Translate real quick. But through that process, it forced me, again, to get out of my comfort zone and to learn how to put sentence structures together and to communicate using Spanish. So that was a really unique experience and one that I'm very grateful that I was able to participate in as well with the homestay.
Yeah, that's wonderful. When you went to the program, did you go without knowing anyone else going?
Yes and no. So I was the only one from my school that I knew that had went and participated in this program for that year. I'm the only one in my pharmacy school for sure. When I found out I got accepted, there was another girl actually from Oklahoma that had contacted me that said that she was a part of the program as well and asked if she could get my flight information so we could fly down into Lima and then the cruise go together. So that was the only connection that I made. I had met her in Dallas beforehand, but I had never met her previous to that. And again, it was a friendship that I had to build when we went and started in Cusco as well.
Right. Was it difficult to make other friends aside from her?
Not at all. At least for me, I'm a very outgoing person. And then from the fact that I'm being a military child and moving every 3 years sometimes, it was very easy for me to adapt to different people and different lifestyles and cultures and whatnot. So for me, I found it extremely easy to get along with the people that I guess Isela attracts are very friendly, outgoing people who it really was a family and that we got to know each other on a personal basis. And I'm happy to say, even to this day, that we still stay in contact and we text, call, and we talk as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So with your friends, so after a nice hard week of working on your Spanish in Cusco, what were some of the things you did for weekend trips?
Oh, wow. There's so many. We actually made the most of our time. We were there for 6 weeks. And throughout that time, we were, I think, only in Cusco for the weekends, for two of those weekends. And the rest of the time, we were traveling to different cities and different places. One place that we went, we did an Inca trek to Machu Picchu and went to Madre Teresa, did the hot springs there, and then zip line through the mountains. At that place as well, and then we hiked through the jungles to Machu Picchu, and then went toward Machu Picchu that next day. We also went to Lago Titicaca and stayed there and went to the floating islands, spent some time with some of the families there, as well as we went to Puno and Arequipa and saw the Coca Canyon and different things of that nature. And we also got to see some of the major festivals that they had inside the city of Cusco as well, which is really unique to participate in and to observe.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
It was. Yeah, it was extremely tiring, but it was so worth it.
Yeah. So of all those places, like if someone was going for much less time, what would you say, like if you're going to take one trip on a weekend, you need to see, what would it be?
Well, I think I would be amiss if I didn't choose Machu Picchu as the number one attraction, since it was just absolutely breathtaking and one of the best experiences of my life. It's just almost surreal to take in all the beauty and the glory of the place and the whole entire experience from doing the Inca trek. For me, getting out of my comfort zone and not liking heights and things of that nature, but to do the zip lining because of my friends that I met at the time encouraged me to do so. It was all around a wonderful experience. So hiking through the rainforest when it was actually raining, all those are very unique experiences that I don't know if I have another opportunity to experience.
So is it typical to go through the rainforest to get to Machu Picchu?
It depends. There's different treks, I guess, you can take. And one of them, that for instance, is the one that you can bike through the mountains. And in order to get through, you also can go by bus or you can also go by train. Us being a little bit younger and being adventurous, we decided to do a 2.5-day trek. And it consists of driving halfway there, staying at a nearby city, and then from there, from that city to hike the rest of the way through the jungle to get to Machu Picchu. And then after that, you had the opportunity to go hike up all the way up to Machu Picchu from the Machu Picchu Pueblo city.
Oh, my goodness.
So...
yes, that's a far cry from not enjoying hiking.
Yeah, exactly. So it was definitely something that got me out of my comfort zone, but it was so worth it. And I was happy. It was one of those major accomplishments that I didn't think I could do it, but I ended up being able to accomplish it. So it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, no kidding. So going back to more of the medical shadowing side, so what types of medical shadowing did you do?
Sure. So for since I am interested in pharmacy and was a pharmacy student, one thing that was unique about the Accela program that it catered to my needs of wanting to shadow pharmacists. So for the majority, I would buy myself in the pharmacy with different pharmacy specialists. And I was able to work in all the different departments that they had at the hospital to find out what they did on a daily basis. And I also actually got to work in the emergency room pharmacy as well by dispensing medications as well and to help the patients out in that aspect. So that was for the medical shadowing. And then as well, we also had a volunteer component that we did some volunteer work in some of the clinics and orphanages that they had there, which was very rewarding as well. We went to some of the orphanages that were for people who were left abandoned, didn't matter their age, if they were younger or they were adults, if they were left abandoned or couldn't take care of themselves or had major psychological issues. They were taken to this place by nuns and that they were taken care of. So we did anything from reading to them to feeding them to even washing their clothes. Whatever we could do to help, we just were there to lend a helping hand. And lastly, we also went to a school that specialized in Down syndrome and trisomy 21 disorders in little kids. And we worked with a specialist to teach them just basic skills of like how to talk and putting words together and like knowing their colors and things of that nature. So all of it was extremely different but extremely rewarding in the fact that we were able to be exposed to that.
Yeah, that does sound very rewarding. So in all of that, speaking Spanish, like you said, with the homestay too, is a little bit intimidating. And then like jumping into medical shadowing would be even more overwhelming. So how did you feel about your Spanish speaking and your Spanish writing skills at the beginning of your program as compared to like the very last day?
So that's a really good question. So I'm happy to say, well, I guess I'll start with the bad. At the beginning, I didn't feel anywhere close to being prepared like I needed to. Although I'd taken 3 to 4 years of Spanish previous to that, I just didn't feel like I was at the capacity that I needed to speak Spanish fluently to all the people that I came in contact with. At the beginning, I was very intimidating. I made many mistakes, which was a good thing. It was the best way for me was to learning what I was doing wrong was actually speak it and make those mistakes and to remediate them in the future. By the end of it, I actually was extremely confident in speaking Spanish, and it was a great experience. And one story that I had is a student from actually Dallas, Texas came the last 2 weeks I was there to stay with my host family as well, and she was there to learn Spanish, beginning Spanish, and she was also there to teach English, but she didn't know Spanish at all to begin with. So for those last 2 weeks, I was confident enough. I served as a translator between the host mom and her for any inquiries that she had, and I was confident enough to be able to speak and to interpret for her.
Yeah, that is a huge blessing from that program.
Right. Exactly.
Amazing.
So for sure, like it definitely enabled me to feel confident about speaking Spanish and also to continue to do it even when I came back to the United States.
Yeah. So did you have any, like in learning Spanish and messing up, did you have any blunders during class time or shadowing time?
Yeah, for sure. And like, I think that comes with any learning of any language. There's definitely different things that you can say that translate differently than it is in your native language, whether it's the English or whatever it is. But for sure, I made mistakes and said things I probably shouldn't have said, and was corrected for it in a very nice and kind manner. But I think that was the best way for me to learn, to find out that, oh, that's not the way you pronounce it, or that's not the meaning that you think it translates to. And then from there, just to get that correction, to get that guidance to make a better you and better Spanish speaker.
Yeah, it takes mistakes to get proficient. So
I agree.
So you kind of hinted at it before, but how have you carried over your Spanish knowledge that you gained in Peru and taken it to your day-to-day life in Austin?
Yeah, so that's great. So being from Texas, living in Texas for the majority of my life now, I am required basically to speak Spanish for the majority of the people that I come in contact with when it comes to my job. We have a very high Mexican population here in Texas. So therefore, knowing Spanish or being able to interpret or to communicate in Spanish is very ideal and almost a must. So as of now, I'm one of the Spanish interpreters at my job when it comes to Spanish speakers. So when it comes to doing councils or anybody who calls on the phone who speaks Spanish, they usually give them over to me to go talk to because I can handle them, I can understand them, and can actually communicate back to them. As well, speaking of an example, today at my job, I was able to do a 30-minute consultation in Spanish with the patient due to my knowledge and skills that I was able to learn from Isela.
Yeah, that's incredible. So was the Spanish that you learned in Lima, Peru, hard to change to the Spanish spoken in Texas, like Mexican Spanish?
No, not at all. That was one of the amazing things about the experience in Cusco, Peru, because the Spanish there is extremely clean, and it's a very professional Spanish. So you're learning very proper and very clean Spanish, which is what I learned while I was there. So it translated very easily and almost sounds more proper than probably the Spanish that is usually spoken around here.
Yeah, that's great. So do you ever get any funny reactions from new patients when you're able to speak and fluent Spanish?
I do. I actually get that a lot of the different times. Me being African American and them seeing me, and when they call me up for a council or to speak to somebody in Spanish as the interpreter, I kind of get kind of a weird look every now and then. Like, hey, well, I'm not sure. Are you sure you speak Spanish kind of thing? I've even had patients ask me before while I'm talking with them. They're like, where are you from? Like thinking I'm either Dominican Republican or something of that nature, because they're like, you speak Spanish very well. And it was a very compliment. And I usually always refer them back. And I was like, I studied Spanish in Peru for 6 weeks. And they're like, oh, okay, that's why. So, yeah, it's been a good experience, but it kind of makes my job interesting and fun. I can catch them off guard every now and then.
Right. And you do have quite a passion for lots of languages. And you mentioned last week that you know a few others as well. What are your other languages?
I do. Besides English and then learning Spanish through Isela as well, I'm also a sign language interpreter for the deaf at my church, and I do sign language. And I also, this last summer, I had the opportunity to study abroad in Portugal, in Lisbon, Portugal, and was able to pick up some Portuguese as well.
So you use ASL regularly. Do you use Portuguese much?
Right now, I have not. There are a few people that I know who are Brazilian. Mm-hmm. And in my city, there are 8,000 Brazilians here, so I am able to speak Portuguese if I know somebody is Brazilian. And I can do that every now and then, but it's not as needed as Spanish or as sign languages currently.
Right. Studying abroad, kind of going back to school, studying abroad can be an intimidating thing. So how have you helped kind of lead the way at your university with regards to doing a broad Spanish and medical program?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually was the first College of Pharmacy student that was able to do this medical abroad Spanish program through Isela, and actually the first student to be able to receive credit from the school as one of my electives for this experience. My school really didn't know about this program beforehand, and after I came back and gave them details and information about it with the pictures and the different reports of all that I've learned, they were elated about it and thought it was an excellent opportunity, and actually sat down to change the curriculum that this can be an opportunity in the future for other students to take part of as for their electives. And the year following, after I did the medical Spanish trip in Cusco, an underclassman or a girl that's a year younger than me was able mm-hmm. to participate in this program this last summer. And just finished the program in Cusco, Peru, and she absolutely had the best time of her life and was able, I believe, to get credit for it also. So I was able expand the amount of electives that are accepted at my university, and then from there to give some exposure to Isela, as well as they featured me in a blog and their school magazine that about this Isela program and the impact it had as me being a pharmacist in the future.
Yeah, and on that, why do you think it is so vital that students especially in your pharmacy program? Why is it important that they branch out and learn elsewhere other than just on campus or even in the States?
Right, because I think it broadens you as a person and as a healthcare professional in my situation. It makes you see a different side of how other people live. So many times that we get, I guess, so focused on our own lives and our surrounding communities that we really kind of can be clueless about the fact of how other people actually live their life and what they go through on a day-to-day basis. And I think it gives students a perspective and kind of gives them some more compassion, some sympathy for different situations out there, and to help them become a more caring and compassionate individual and healthcare professional.
Do you have any advice for people who may be on the fence about doing Spanish immersion, much less not even medical Spanish immersion, but just a basic program?
After the study abroad, I am such an advocate for doing any type of study abroad because I know the change that it made on my life for the better. And I would so heartily advocate for anyone who's thinking about it, contemplating about it, to just really consider it, the full aspect of it. And if it's fear and things of that nature that may be holding you back, to go for it. And to know that it's going to change your life for the better. And it's an excellent experience and one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities that you don't want to pass by.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Spanish word or phrase or one that holds some meaning for you?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. So if you talk to my friends and my professors at the school in Cusco, while I was learning, one of my favorite words that came in contact with was dime, which means tell me. And then from there, like any time, like I didn't know that word really coming into the Spanish program. I kept hearing my professors or people say it. I was like, hey, that sounds really cool. Or anytime anybody like call my name or say something, I'm like, dime, dime. And from there, that was my word that I loved during the time.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that kind of wraps up our call. So thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise and experiences with our listeners. And it's been a pleasure to listen and learn more about you.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and good luck with finishing your doctorate program.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yep. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
Bye.